Come on up, Hannah. This is wonderful. Wonderful to be together this morning. Sorry, yes, Sunday school. Thank you. How could I forget that? I love reminders. There are a lot of reminders here this morning. So may the Lord bless them, bless their teachers. And my goodness. We pray in the Sunday school classroom. That's where the prayer happens on Sunday morning. So we pray for the children almost every week because we're standing in the place where these kids are going to be in the morning. So they're going to be blessed this morning. Amen. Amen. Hannah, welcome.
You guys don't have to clap for me. Oh my gosh, my Bible's upside down. There we go. Sorry. Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Good. Blessed? Yes, Juan. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I spoke about intergenerational community. Who was here for that and remembers anything about it? It's okay if no one remembers. But I've been doing a series. I think, Dad, is it part 10? I don't know. For the last year and a bit. And community is always close to this church's heart, as you know, it's part of our name, West Ottawa Community Church. Praise God. Yes. So I have about 60 slides on this, so we're not going to do 60 slides today, don't worry. We've already done a bunch of them. But this is accidentally at the beginning, but I'm going to go skip, skip, skip a whole bunch all the way through. Is that a song? Ah, sing it, Bob. Just oh, sorry. That was, so I actually went and spoke to a youth conference on this subject as well. So I had put this in there because they didn't know who I was. You guys know our family, but that's my family. They're running around somewhere. Even Leo's running around probably. No, I don't know where he's at. But Leo, are you in the room? He's making coffee. Hey, what a great guy. Okay. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Okay, we're not even going to do this. Oh, my goodness. Don't look. Okay, well, maybe you can look. It's too late. Okay. This was for youth, remember? So I had to, you know, shock and awe so that they respected me. But these are some three truths and a lie. Can you guys guess which one is the? Wow, that was supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 4, but it says 1, 1, 1, 1. Oh, well. Does anyone can guess which one's the truth? I mean, the lie? Which one's the lie? Number 4 is the lie? Is that a consensus or is there other guesses? Oh, I hear 1, I hear 3, I hear 2. Number 2 is the lie. All other 3s are truths. You can ask me about these later. Don't ask me now. We're going all the way to number 56. Whoa, nice. Okay, but we're going to go back slightly. Here's the part that we're going to do. So this is part 2 of intergenerational community. But the church was designed to function as a spiritual family where wisdom, faith, encouragement, and growth move both directions across generations. And this is the one of the main verses for this is Psalm 145:4. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. Like, we just heard some testimonies here at the front from two different generations. Praise the Lord. And I think one of the things that I really, when I just started praying about sharing about this particular little subject upon the big subject of community, was this mutual, of this directional, like, arrow that was like an arrow up and an arrow down. It's just going back and forth because sometimes we think, oh, like, you know, the older generation passes all the wisdom down, but it's actually both. It's a give and take. It's a mutual thing, and we need each other to get through our walk. And if you've heard me preach before, there's this saying, Josh knows it, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far or further, go together. We have to go together if we want to make it to the end of our walk. If we want to make it through that narrow gate, we got to do it together. And so you can listen to the other 10 sermons on this on the website, but we're not going to go back too much. But okay, so this is just a funny picture I made of of some generations here at the church. We've got, you know, the founder of the church in the top left, and then we've got a little guy over here who's just turned 4. All the generations together. Here we go. So last time we talked, and we actually read all these verses, and we talked mainly about how there is this beautiful passing down from the generation above to the generation under of wisdom and strength, maturity, experience. We talked about a lot of those things that are important and integral, that we need this older generation with us and around us. We have examples in the word of mentorship. We have Paul mentoring many, but we just specifically have put Titus and Timothy. We have Moses mentoring Joshua. We have Elijah mentoring Elisha. So there's many, many, but these are just quick examples because they've already talked about this. So go back and listen from maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago if you want to catch up. But okay, contrast, example. So I actually had this. I didn't talk about this last time. I thought about, so there's the good things that the generations pass around, and then there's also negative things that the generations pass around. So I just put together a few examples of some things that we need to be watching out for as an elder generation and what we need to be careful for. And there's a couple examples here. So the old prophet to the young prophet. Now this story really, like, is a really interesting story. Who knows this story? 1 Kings 13. So it is not Samuel. There's actually no names. It's just literally old prophet. It's the name of the guy. I don't know his name. He doesn't have a name. Okay. We're going to start in verse 11. Oh, my writing is very tiny. Oh, no. Okay. Now, an old prophet, so just an old prophet, dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. Oh, so there's a bit of context if you go back, but it's too long to read the whole thing. Basically, there's an old prophet and there's a young prophet. Now, the young prophet has been doing some stuff, and the context is that he had told the king a word, and then he was told by God to not go back to that land and to keep moving forward. And this old prophet just comes out of nowhere, don't really know his motives, they're a little sneaky, and he basically lies to this young prophet and said, well, actually, God told me a word that you are supposed to stay and come back and eat dinner with me. It's very random. So he goes, he forgets the word that God told him, and he listens to this old prophet who had a word from the Lord. And he goes to his house, he disobeys God, and he gets there, and the old prophet then gets a real word from the Lord and says, you shouldn't have done that, you're going to die. That's the story. So if you want to go read the story, you can. It's a very interesting story. But basically, what, like, a little nugget that I'm going to get out of there today is that there can be deception passed down. You know, like, he trusted this older prophet, and the prophet just straight up lied to him. So older people, we got to be really aware of things that we are saying. Are they really words from the Lord, or are they just, you know, from our own experience or our own ideas? Like, obviously he had some kind of motive to do this, and we got to check our hearts as an older generation. And we don't want to fall into that deceiving the younger generation. That's a very bad thing. And it leads to distrust and disunity and all kinds, and death. I mean, the guy died because of this older prophet's lie. So he may not have realized that's what it would have come to, but that is what it came to, because he caused this younger guy to disobey because he trusted him instead of trusted his word that he got from the Lord himself. There's Eli and his sons. We all know this story, 1 Samuel 2 and 3. These sons were wicked. They were doing really bad things, and Eli sort of just let it happen. He neglected really, you know, taking authority over his sons. He was complacent. He didn't really, you know, stand strong and bring direction or correction. So neglect and compromise, we want to watch out for that as older generation. And this is also just in general, you guys need to watch out for these things. It's not just, you know, older versus younger. These are all things we need to be thinking about. But another thing was the Pharisees in Israel. They were, you know, much more mature in the faith. They had all the knowledge, the wisdom, and yet they were hypocrites, corrupt, and They led so many people astray. All of, like Israel, they actually led, you know, them to kill the real Messiah. So, and they were trusted, obviously, because they had all this wisdom and knowledge, and they were older and wiser and respected. And then yet, there was hypocrisy and corruption within their ranks. Common traps to be aware of: complacency, abuse of power, that's a big one, influence, hypocrisy, corruption, set in wrong ways, unwillingness to change. That is a big one as elder we need to be watching out for, because, you know, you've been there, you've gone this path, and maybe it was slightly the wrong path, but you're really stuck in that path, and it's really hard to be humble and accept a word of correction, maybe from someone younger than you. But as the older generation, there has to be a humility and a closeness to the Lord to be able to be teachable still, even in your old age or elderly wisdom time of life. I don't know. But also remember, this is not just about age either. This could be to someone who's like, you know, because it's not about age in the kingdom, right? There's people that have been saved for 30 years, but are only 30 years old. But then there's someone that's 60 and only has been saved for 3 years. So, you know, just, you know, you got it. You know. Okay. Oh, I did it again. No. Okay. Here we go. Now we're going from the other way. Ah, it's like aerobics. Okay. This is, it happens to me every time. I don't know if it's, but I'm doing it back there. Oh, maybe it's just a little bit slow to catch up. Oh, there we go. Okay. Oh, they're all at once. Okay, perfect. Okay, so then we have the neck. Now we're going to go from the, this is what we didn't get to before. The generation below and passing up. So we have Timothy as an example to all the believers. And, you know, we've got Josh can just quote it.
Go for it, Josh.
1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Rather, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity.
Amen. So it's not just on the elderly generation to, you know, provide examples, but also it is on us to provide examples as well. And I think that's important to remember that, we can't just, you know, be lazy and expect, oh, it's all going to come from like someone older than me or my parents. Like, we have to actually take responsibility for our faith and become examples and disciplers as well. We have Elihu and Job and his friends. This is a really good one. I like this one. We've got Job 32. Where are you, Job? I know where this is, but I get a little stressed and then I get lost. Okay. Job 32. Okay, I like Elihu. He's a really cool guy. Job 32, 18 to 22. Actually, I'm going to start at the beginning or ish, at number 6. So it says, so Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years and you are very old. Imagine if, you know, someone just said that to you. That'd be so funny. Okay. I maybe don't say that, but I am young in years and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid. There was some fear there because there is this, you know, natural inclination to think if you're older, you're wiser. And you, therefore, as a young person, I can't really say anything because I'm either wrong or it just would be disrespectful. But he held his words. And then there was a point where he just couldn't stop it anymore. And he just, he said the truth, even as a young person. And he said to himself, I said age should speak and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the age always understand justice. Wow, that's really cool. So Elihu came up with his wisdom and he, you know, just laid it all out. And there was some conviction from Job and his friends. And it's a really powerful end of the story where Job ends up, you know, really getting confronted by the Lord. And then, you know, whew, then he gets everything restored after. But if Elihu had just kept quiet, we don't know if he would have ever got to that place. So even though you are young, here it says, there is still the spirit in you. The breath of the Almighty gives you understanding. And you can have wisdom as well, even in your young age. We've got Josiah and all of Judah. In 2 Kings 22 and 23, it says, I'll just paraphrase, but he was 8 when he got on the throne. And then it says in his 18th year, so he would have been 26 at the time, he finds the book of the law, right? He finds the book of the law, and then he completely reforms the entire nation at 26 years old. That's pretty powerful. There was many an older king that did not do that. In fact, they followed the way of evil. They followed their own desires, their own heart, and they laid Israel and Judah to waste. But Josiah, young as he was, 26, was able to reform an entire kingdom. So don't look down on yourself because of your age. Samuel to Eli. This is also pretty powerful. Samuel was a little guy. He was really young. You know, he grew up in the temple. And Samuel gets a word from God to actually correct Eli. And there was some hesitation on Samuel's part to share it, but Eli says, speak the word, man. Like, just lay it out before me. And he knew what was coming. And Eli received it, and it was a pretty harsh word from God because of the neglect and the complacency and the disobedience that he'd been walking in. And he had to receive this word from this young kid in his temple, but he did. I think that was pretty humble of him to receive that word, and there was a consequence, many consequences to what he'd done. But it was through Samuel that that word came. It was through a young man who had been listening and to God, really, and was obeying him. And then we've got Psalm 119:99. This is a beautiful verse as well. Psalm 119:99-100. Here we go. So, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I kept your precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word, and I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Isn't that amazing? When someone spends time in the word, it doesn't matter how long they've been a Christian, but there's wisdom to be found in the word, and there's teaching. It says God himself taught David as he went deep into the word, and as he kept his precepts. I think that God really rewards that desire for holiness, and if you're keeping yourself and you're, you know, seeking and running after God, there is wisdom to be found and to be shared, and I think that's really beautiful. So young people, don't, you know, cut yourself out of the good things that God has for you. It says so many places in the word that you can walk in authority, and you can walk in wisdom, you can walk in fellowship with the Lord, and bring things to the kingdom and to the body. Now, there are also contrast examples for these youngins. I'm one of them. So these are things that we need to be watching out for, being aware of. Rehoboam, 1 Kings 12, we're back in 1 Kings. He listened to the young counsel and was led astray. There was an older counselor that was trying to give him wisdom, and there was a younger set of counsel that was saying, no, do this. And it was the wrong move, and Rehoboam decided to listen to the young people, and he was led astray. And the reason that the young counsel was giving these advice, it was pride and it was impulsive. So it was basically, they just wanted to do their own thing, and they saw something they could go after, and they thought they could get it. But it ended up not working out for them or anyone, because it was the wrong thing, and it was obviously disobedience to God. So as young people, we have to be aware of our pride and of our impulsiveness, because sometimes we just want to get something right now, and that can be dangerous, and we need to be, you know, reining that in and really aligning our desires with the Lord, because they can really take us to very bad places, and we can take others with us. So we have to be very careful. We got Absalom here, sneakily flattering people and undermining David's authority. 2 Samuel 15. Oh, here's what's happening. My battery came out. Oops. Did I do it the wrong way? Okay, I might have to give this up for a minute. Can you just do it? But it's okay. Right now it's good. Okay, so sneakily flattering people. So Absalom, who knows who Absalom was? David's son. Yes. He was David's own son. And he decided that he wanted to be in power. So he decided to take 4 years, actually. I was pretty surprised at how dedicated this guy was to this vision. He spent a lot of time just telling people that he was better than David, basically. But also what he really did was tell the people that they were so great. And they are so just awesome people. And he flattered them for 4 years, trying to make them feel like he was on their side and that he'd do better than David. David didn't know who they were, but Absalom did. So he was very sneaky, he was cunning, he was prideful, he was thinking that he would do a better job. And so that's something that we have to watch out for ourselves. Cunningness, pridefulness. Pride is for every generation. We have to be slashing that down and bringing up humility in our hearts, because we will cause havoc. And he is the one that caused a lot of problems in Israel and Judah. He basically caused the great split, I'm pretty sure, at that point. I could be wrong, but something like that. He did something very bad when he took over. And then we've got Eli's sons. Back to those guys. So not only did Eli do wrong things because he was like complacent and he just didn't really care or bring direction, but Eli's sons were abusing power and leading people astray. They were immature and rebellious. Rebellion is a big problem, especially with young people. We just want to disregard or reject authority, reject instruction, because it doesn't feel good. It feels better to think that we know the way and that we are more, we know it all. But we can't. We don't. We're immature. We don't have, you know, 50 years of experience to see what bad choices get to. We kind of just think, oh, I can do this. I'm going to. Anyway, so rebellion is a big problem for us, and we need to really be cutting that down and receiving words, receiving wisdom from the older generations. Common traps to be aware of: impulsiveness. Peer pressure is a big one. We get really impacted by what people think of us. I've found, like, as I've walked with older people, that sometimes they just still struggle with that, but it's not as bad. People, like, as you get older, you kind of care less a little bit, maybe, hopefully, of what people think about you. But when you're young, it really matters. It is really, really important. So then we can get really caught up in that and trying to please people or trying to look a certain way and not be authentic and maybe even do wrong things because it makes us fit in. And so that's really dangerous, and we have to really be aware of that. Pride with inexperience is a bad combination. Again, because we think that we have the answer, but we don't have the experience to back it up. And so it leads into dangerous places. And then again, this rebellion, rejecting correction, authority, dangerous, dangerous. You got to be teachable as a young person and as an older person. We have to be teachable. So then we have both ways together. We're going to read some verses here. These are beautiful verses. Colossians 3:16. Maybe I'll have Young read that one.
Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
Amen. So it says to teach each other in all humility, teach each other. And I think that's important and key to remember that we can learn from everyone. We don't put it in a box and just say we can only learn from the pastor, or we can only learn from someone speaking at the front, but we can all learn from one another, and we actually should be always constantly learning and growing from each other. So that's older, all the way from the younger to the up older. Like, we can learn from the Sunday school kids. They can teach us so much, you know. So don't close off where you're learning from. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is pretty amazing as well. You know, it says don't forsake meeting with one another. It doesn't say to, you know, don't forsake with the young adults meeting together and then the seniors meeting together or the kids. It's all of us in one. Like, in one group, it says, let us hold fast and, you know, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. He doesn't separate anyone or altogether, kids to the elderly. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some. I think some were getting into their own little groups and cults, and that's also very dangerous because we don't have the safety of accountability when we do that. And we have to exhort one another. And exhortation is a participatory word, and it's not just an encouraging word like, oh, hello, you look really good this morning. I like your smile. That's not exhortation. Exhortation is, hey, I see you did that. That wasn't good. You should do this. That's even better. Like, exhortation is deeper and more intense than encouragement. It's very direct, and it builds you up, and it lifts you up out of where you were. That's what exhortation is, and that's what we need to be doing to one another, not just these little, like, half-hearted compliments. That is not exhortation, and that's not what we're called to do. We're called to know each other deeply and to be able to call each other up higher towards the Lord and to be more like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Does anyone have that one? I do. That was fast. 14:26. Anyone have it that wants to read?
What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? Each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up.
Woo! That's beautiful. I love that. So everyone has a job to play. You can't just come in, you know, at 11 o'clock, get your little enjoyable thing that you heard, like one little word nugget, and then you just leave and that's it. You didn't encounter anyone, you didn't encourage or exhort anyone, you didn't bring a teaching or share a testimony. If you didn't do anything at church, are you really at church? What are you doing? You could have just sat at home and done nothing. But church is the people. It is not the building. We have to be a church. We have to share each other's burdens. We have to do the thing. If we don't do the thing, we're not really part of it. 1 Peter 4:10. 4:10. 1 Peter. Wait, is that wrong? Oh, Colt's got it. Wait, you got to have the mic. You got to have the mic.
As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
So good. So good. Thanks, Colt. That's so good. I'm going to get it so I can see it with my own eyes, too. 1 Peter 4:10. So that was really, really beautiful. Yes. Okay, so there's gifts that each one has. And if you have a gift but you don't use it, bleh, don't do that. You have to use it. Sorry. Use it or lose it. Oh, wait. Reuse it. No, I was thinking of Paw Patrol. There was some quote there from Rocky. Don't lose it, reuse it. I don't know, something like that. Yes.
Oh, you raised your hand?
No, I didn't. I was scratching my head.
You're scratching your head. Oh, I thought you were going to just do a mic drop, like, moment. Okay, sorry. Okay, Romans 1, 11 to 12. Does anyone have that one already? Maybe. Oh, my mom.
For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours.
Ooh, that's beautiful. Who said that? Paul said that. Who would ever think that you could teach Paul something? So this is also an encouragement for those that think they're Paul. I mean, no, sure, there are people that some are similar to Paul, but don't think that you have no way to be taught something. That's very not, if you're in a bad place, if you're thinking like that, I can't be taught. I got it all together. Like I've got the word, like even myself, I've got the word this morning. I know it all. If someone was to say a correction right here, because they said something wrong and I was like, oh, who are you to tell me that? You know, that's bad. I need to be able to receive it and go, oh, you're right. I was totally wrong about that. Let me research that a bit more. I clearly wasn't prepared enough. You know what I mean? So not only is the Pauls of the church need to be ready to be taught, but also we need to be ready to teach the Pauls, right? Amen. You guys got to be ready to teach those Pauls. And Pauls, you got to be ready to be taught by the church. There's humility there. Interact. There's this interaction for sure. So we got to be willing to interact, because we get so stuck in our little comfort zones, and you know, we're all segregated. And anyway, so my next slide is actually, oh, there's one more. Romans 14:19. I'm all the way in Genesis. Okay, this is going to take a second. Romans 14. Who's got it? Somebody have it? Oh, my next. Oh, my goodness. Who had to memorize all the books of the Bible in Awana? Knesset is doing that right now. She's 5. And I'm like, man, I need to work on my... Oh, someone's got it. Jean's got it.
So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another.
Thanks. Yes, build up one another. Amen. These are just, you know, we know all this, but we got to build each other up generation to generation. And now comes the part of the session where you all have been waiting, where we have to do something. So we are going to get into little groups for 5 minutes. So we're just going to like bulldoze this, brainstorm. What ways do we already incorporate intergenerational discipleship and community here at West Ottawa? And what is one way that we could improve, increase those opportunities? So just do this quick, talk to your neighbor, like, you know, you're right there, like 3 minutes, get an answer to these questions. And then I'm going to have like 4 people answer in the big group, and then we'd be done. Thank you. Okay, we're going to wrap up because it's already 10 after 12. Oh, 1 more minute. Okay, 1 more minute. Oh, if any of the Zoomies are still around, if you guys have any ideas on Zoom, you can throw in the chat. If you guys have any ideas how we can be improving our intergenerational, let us know on the chat in Zoom. Okay. This is good. I see some groups mingling with the generations. This is good. Okay. First question, do we have, you know, a few answers that can raise your hands and share? First question, what ways do we already incorporate intergenerational discipleship community? Raise a hand. We got over here, we got Josh.
I love our bi-weekly group. Like Thursday, there's men's, and then the other Thursday, we have women. Why? What I've noticed, we do fellowship and testimony sharing. So all the young adults, they are inspired to like step up, and all the adults, they are inspired to pour to all the people. So it says there, what ways do we already incorporate, which is the Thursday, Thursday nights. And it says there, what is the way we could improve it? I think if we add like some fellowship within those Thursdays meeting, maybe like some potluck or like maybe games like that we could implement. So yeah, it's amazing.
Because remember we've done a whole series on what do we need for a healthy community, and fun is on the top of that list. Fun grows you together. It's really, you really bond when you have fun together. Okay. Oh, we got all the way in the back. Pardon? Working. Oh, the work bee's coming up. We need some help, Bob says. All the generations. We need pulling weeds and...
Yeah, actually, we had a very easy time to do intergenerational discipleship and community. Because last June, was it? My daughter here, her husband, his mother, and the 5 grandchildren all moved into our house. So we have a community.
That's amazing. We'll be praying for you. No, that's amazing though, isn't it? Wow, that's, woo, takes humility on all the parts, right? The humility and willingness to work through. Nava, you got anything?
I suppose we have sort of a similar story. One of the things I shared was that we also live like in a granny suite off of my in-laws' house. And that is also an intergenerational community that we've built there too.
That's true. That's cool. I like these little communities that are popping up. That's great. Oh, there's a group, big group over here has something to say. First question. We'll do the second question in a second.
No. Just 2 things. One is more intentionality. That came out a couple of times. More intentionality, doing what we're doing now, but more intentionality and exchanging phone numbers. You know, so during the week to encourage one another. If you need an encouragement, you got a number to call.
we had our little group here, and we decided that we're already doing this a lot, and more intentionality, like doing more things on purpose. But even just Sunday mornings speaking, you are only in your 30s. There are others, the young adults that come up and share are only in their 20s. So it doesn't always have to be the senior people in the church. We can learn from the younger people too.
That's true. I didn't think about that, but that's true. Even from the front, there's all the generations. That's beautiful. And we've had young Josh too. He's done a couple of prayers in the service and stuff. That's amazing. You're 13. Where is he? 13, 14 now. Yes. Good job, Josh. Oh, Leah wants to share an answer or something else. Oh.
I was listening to Lita's mom, that how many of them, her daughter, her husband, and the kids live together. Can you guys do that? No.
My kids don't want to live
together. Because I came from the culture where we all live together. But here, the parents seems like they don't want the kids to live together. Because it's too chaos. But you're missing the points there. You're really missing the points there. That's the reason why God give you the kids, you know, family. Like you've been living together, stay together. But yeah, it's sad to hear and sad to see that, you know, how many people, they really want to have their own time, have their own space. But let the kids go stay or they have your family. I know the Bible says you leave your parents and go, but and you feel lonely, that you have to stay in community, stay with your kids. So because when you grow up, you're getting old, your kids help with supporting you. Grandkids supporting you, taking care of you. No, you don't have to call them to come back. It's right in front of you. So that's the community. Amen. God bless you.
But if you don't have that, like physically, if that's already, you know, there's already been that separation, the church is also to be that as well. So that's really beautiful. Like the generations taking care of one another because we're part of the kingdom family, right? So even if there's an elderly person, they've lost all their kids and they're alone. That's our job as young people to come and fill in that gap for that. Yes, Philat has something to share.
I was scratching my head. Just kidding. No, just kidding. No, I could speak from experience too. Sometimes, you know, we lived under one roof with our kids and grandkids, which was a bit more challenging. But then now we live like about 40 meters apart. But we have very frequent visits, sometimes early in the morning. Somebody, okay, is it the older one or younger one? And, you know, with this come some inconveniences. However, I am often reminded of the privilege, how I go pick up the little guy to daycare. It's a privilege to be part of family and function as family. As Leo mentioned, it is a privilege. Yeah.
I think culturally speaking, a lot of young people now are moving back with their families. And I don't know if maybe that's a God intention thing for bringing families back together, because we've become so independent. You know, we want to start on our own and succeed. But now with the way the economy is, families are having to live together and stay together longer. We always shared our house. We've always had young people living with us. We ran a rooming house, I think, from the time our kids were young until when we even lived in Saskatchewan. So, and it's multi-generation, multi-culture. So, you know, if you have a room in your house, you know, you can share, because there are a lot of young people struggling to find a place, and there are a lot of empty basements sitting where that could be turned into a home for someone.
That's so practical. Did you hear what she said? She said, if you have an empty basement, that's a space that could be used for the kingdom. Wow. Whew, we have so much space here. Okay, in Hong Kong, we had an apartments, everyone's apartments. You know, there's families of 12 people living in 350 square foot. Here we have so much space and we waste it a lot of times. That is a very, very good point, Diane. Thank you. So how could you use your space for the kingdom and for the family of God? That's a good question to challenge you with as we leave. Oh, I also love the worship together, all of us together in worship. There's chaos in that, as Leo said, but I love that we don't shy away from that. And I also love, Chuck, how, you know, sometimes there's a little stray that gets on the stage. And he's so gracious as the parents, like, ah, get back here. There's so much grace, and it's just so beautiful. And I'm so thankful as a parent here that my kids are safe and welcomed and loved. So thank you. Okay, Leo, do you want to pray for us? As a hot culture climate, we need some prayer.
Father, we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I pray that you continue to help us to live in unity, to live together, so we can praise you and we can lift up your name, Father. Holy Spirit, help us to guide us every day in our life, Father. Help us as we're going through each week, each day, Father. Give us strength, Father. Give us wisdom, Father. And pray that your presence will go before us, Lord. We want to give you honor and glory into your mighty name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.